So translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. It is believed that all the universal planetary systems are situated on the extensive body of the Purusha, but He has nothing to do with the created material ingredients. His body is eternally in spiritual existence par excellence. Purport. The conception of the Virat Rupa or Vishwarupa of the Supreme Absolute Truth is especially meant for the neophyte who can hardly think of the transcendental form of the Personality of Godhead. To him, a form means something of the material world, and therefore an opposite conception of the Absolute is necessary in the beginning to concentrate the mind on the power extension of the Lord. As stated above, the Lord extends His potency in the form of the Mahat Tattva, which includes all material ingredients. The extension of power by the Lord and the Lord Himself personally are one in one sense, but at the same time the Mahat Tattva is different from the Lord. Therefore the potency of the Lord and the Lord are simultaneously different and non-different. The conception of the Virat Rupa, especially for the impersonalist, is thus non-different from the eternal form of the Lord. The eternal form of the Lord exists prior to the creation of the Mahat Tattva, and it is stressed here that the eternal form of the Lord is par excellence spiritual or transcendental to the modes of material nature. The very same transcendental form of the Lord is manifested by His internal potency and the formation of His multifarious manifestations of incarnations is always of the same transcendental quality without any touch of the Mahat Tattva. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshe Tarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I'd like to seek the blessings of all the devotees present here, and especially all the senior devotees, so I can say something for my own purification, and in the process, if it's something useful, hopefully for you, if it's not, it's really your problem. But you see, one thing I was reflecting on, something interesting somebody said, was that we're not really coming here to hear the speaker, we're coming here to hear the Bhagavatam, okay? So the Bhagavatam is sweet, the Bhagavatam is pure, because Krishna is pure, okay? So there is no such thing as a boring Bhagavatam class, okay? If you think the Bhagavatam class is boring, it's because you're boring, okay? But the Bhagavatam is always sweet and exciting. So I was trying to prepare for this class, and as you do, when you don't know what to do, you either speak to your spiritual master, or, you know, you speak to Krishna, and as in the deities, I don't speak to Krishna, but... And then Krishna gives you a sign. So usually I speak to my spiritual master. In this case, it came to me, in one sense, how to prepare for class. So just a few days ago, His Holiness Jayadvaita Maharaj was here, and Kripamoya Prabhu, and they're good friends, so they were catching up. And Kripamoya Prabhu asked Jayadvaita Maharaj, "You give such amazing classes. They're very eloquent. Jayadvaita Maharaj is one of my favorites. I'm like a fan." Okay, and such eloquent classes, very simple, very amazing, yet so profound. So he said, "What's your secret for giving classes?" So Jayadvaita Maharaj gave him the secret for giving a good Bhagavatam class, or good any class. Do you want to hear it? Okay, nobody wants to hear it except a couple of people. I'm going to say it anyway. So Maharaj said that if you want to give a good class, it should have 5 points in it. Okay, if you got these 5 points, you got everything covered. Okay? So 5 points. First, you are not the body. Okay. Point number two, human life is meant for self-realization. Point number three, chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Point number four, find and accept a guru. And point number five, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, so this is what he said is the best class, okay, if it includes these 5 points. And I was thinking where it came from. So he mentioned that In 1968, when he was a young devotee, he was given this. Now, I wasn't there in the conversation, so I don't know if it came from Prabhupada or not, but I think it's good enough if it comes from Jayadvaita Maharaj. But it may have come from Prabhupada, because for one reason is that if you hear Prabhupada's lectures, he always talks about these five things. Okay, it's always there. In pretty much every Prabhupada class, it's always there. And it's always the same thing, you may think, but these things are always there, so it may have come from him. And another reason being, in the 19 early days of the movement, not many people knew a lot of things. Okay, it's actually amazing how Prabhupada has done this, like take a completely new process and teach people. And we had the 50th anniversary of ISKCON a couple of years ago. And some of the scholars mentioned that it is the first time since the Roman Empire that an entire culture has been transplanted into a new culture. So it's not happened since the Roman Empire. So Prabhupada did that. He took Gaudiya Vaishnava culture, which was known only by a few people, well, not few people, a lot of people, but in a small area, and he took it all over the world, and he just implanted that culture everywhere. So it's amazing what Prabhupada did. But in those times, the early days, not many people knew a lot. And I've been reading this book called Chasing Rhinos by the Swami, by Shyamasundara Prabhu. And it's an amazing book, I tell you. If you get an opportunity, you should read it. It's a really good book. And it talks about the early days and how Shyamasundara Prabhu sees the movement. And this one pastime I was just reading a couple of days ago. And in those days, people used to get initiated in 3 days. Okay, so Prabhupada's coming to San Francisco. He's in New York. Shyamasundara Prabhu's in San Francisco there. And he's heard all about Prabhupada and he's made up his mind, okay, I'm going to get initiated. Okay, and he hasn't even seen Prabhupada yet. Prabhupada comes. First day they meet him, Prabhupada says, okay, I'll initiate you in 3 days. And then you and Melanie, who later became Malati Mataji, so you guys got to get married, so I'll get you married the next day. Okay, so that's 4 days. Everything's going to change. Okay. But they didn't really know much about Krishna consciousness or a lot of other things. So then Prabhupada gives them a whole list to bring for the ceremony. So there's all these vegetables and fruits and grains and so many things. Now what's interesting is they didn't really have any money, in fact. So they hardly had anything. So the two ladies, which is Melanie Mataji, Malati Mataji, and then another Mataji. So they go out shopping, okay, but they don't have any money. So they go into the supermarket and they load up 3 shopping trolleys full of stuff. Okay, so the vegetables, fruits, whatever, 3 big shopping trolleys. And they just walk out and no one questions them, because obviously no one's going to steal 3 big trolleys of stuff. Okay, if you steal something small, but if you're taking 3 big trolleys, obviously you paid for it. So they just walk out with the trolleys, they got the stuff. They get ready for the ceremony, so all these fruits and everything everywhere. Prabhupada sitting there starts the fire, okay, and then Prabhupada says, okay, so when I say the mantra and then I say swaha, so that's when you throw the grains, okay. So they're like, okay, so there's 2, and then there's another 2 people who are Harvey and Hope, who later become Haridas and Harsharani Mataji, like that. So they're all 4 sitting there. And so they pick up the grains, but you know, you pick up grains like that, a few grains, okay. So they didn't know, so they just pick up handfuls of grains, okay, like that. So they all got handfuls of grains. Prabhupada chants a verse, and he says, swaha, and they throw the grains at Prabhupada, okay, because they don't know where to throw them. And then Prabhupada's sitting there, and all these grains landing on him. So anyway, what does Prabhupada do? He doesn't move an inch, okay. It's like nothing's happened. He's not fazed by the whole thing, and he just says, no, fire, fire. Okay, so then they get it. Okay, we're throwing grains in the fire. So they put grains in the fire. A while later, Prabhupada says, okay, banana. So they're like, oh, great, banana. So they take the banana and they start peeling it ready to eat. So then Prabhupada says, no, no, fire, fire. So again, they put the bananas into the fire. And then, so by now they're realizing, okay, we don't throw things at the Swami. It's all about the fire, okay? So then, after a while, ceremony is finished, they're initiated, they get the names, and Prabhupada also had this thick accent, which a lot of people didn't understand. Actually, in that book, Shyamasundara Prabhu writes that before Prabhupada, I had never seen an Indian before. Okay, nowadays, Indians are everywhere. You go to the, you know, Antarctic, there's Indians and penguins there. So it's Indians are everywhere. So Prabhupada has this thick accent, and the ceremony is finished, and Prabhupada says, bow down. Okay, so they don't know what bow down means. What Prabhupada's trying to say, bow down, okay? So bow down. So then anyway, one of them figures out what to do. So he bows down, and they start blowing into the fire. And then this fire's all smoking and everything's coming on Prabhupada's face. And Prabhupada's sitting there shaking his head, you know, like, what am I doing here? But from that, Prabhupada took the movement to the next level. So it's amazing what Prabhupada did. And he's taught us so many things from the Bhagavatam. So I was looking at the verse, and there's mainly, there's a lot of interesting things in the verse, but mainly 3 points, okay, mainly 3 points that are mentioned. So the first point is that Krishna and his incarnations are all fully spiritual, and they are all aloof from material creation. Okay, now what happens is everyone sees things from their own perspective. Okay, so when Krishna comes as a human being, a lot of people thought that, okay, Krishna is a human. When Krishna came as a boar, okay, Hiranyaksha looked at him and thought, he didn't say the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He looks at the boar and goes, what's that, a pig? And it's like an amphibious beast. That's how it's mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So they think Krishna is one amongst them because, you know, he goes under the water, he picks up the earth just like boars do. When Krishna comes as a tortoise, okay, he's swimming around in the water, he doesn't do human-like things. So Krishna really gets into the pastime. So it's obvious for people to think with our limited understanding that Krishna is, you know, like us, because we see things from our perspective. But the thing is, when it's very interesting to note that how we describe the world is not actually how the world is, but we describe the world as we are conditioned to see it. Okay, we see the world through our eyes, okay, not really what it is. There's another story that many years ago, I was in a Namahata. I used to go to Namahata in Guildford. And once His Grace Ranchor Prabhu, senior Prabhupada disciple, visited. And then he told us a story. So in the early days, what used to happen was Prabhupada used to take his disciples out on programs. And then when someone asked a question, he would pick one of his disciples and say, okay, you say it. You answer, like that. And you can see how tense it would be, because, you know, you're answering something in front of your spiritual master. So in this case, someone asked a question, and then Prabhupada picked Ranchor Prabhu. He said, you answer. And then he was like shocked. Go, what am I going to say now? And then anyway, he's thinking. And then he goes, okay, let me make a start. Something will come out. So then he starts off the answer by saying, so in this world, there is happiness and there is suffering. And then Prabhupada interrupts and stops him. He goes, no happiness, only suffering. So it's very interesting, because some people may say, no, there is some happiness in this world, okay? I do get enjoyment by doing quite a few things that I do. But actually, even all the good things that you do are making you entangled, which lead to further suffering in the future. So in one sense, Prabhupada has a vision that we don't have, okay? Everyone sees things from their own perspective, okay? So that's one thing. Another thing is also when somebody asks you, how's this person? Okay, we describe that person. What we're actually describing is not that person, we're describing ourselves, because we see things through our perspective. There's a very good example that Prabhupada often gave of the fly and the bee. So there's filthy things on the planet, and there's nice things, but the bee will always pick the flower. Okay, even if there's like one little flower in the midst of a lot of rubbish, it'll pick the flower. But what does a fly do? Even if there's a lot of good things, it picks the not so clean things. Okay, so that's what flies do. But the thing is, they're both there. Okay, it's all there. So when we describe somebody, we can describe the good qualities or the bad qualities, because it's all there. But you only see things how you are. Okay, so you have to be very careful. If someone disagrees with us when you have a conversation, an argument, of course it's obviously their fault, because they don't understand. Okay? That's what we think, because we think we're always right. So when we're in this human body, we're conditioned in a certain way to see, act, and behave in a certain way. When we see Krishna, we think, oh, he's just a human being like us. Okay? Normal thing to say. And that's why Krishna has to mention it, that, okay, I'm not a normal human being, even though I may look like it. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions, avajananti mam mudha, Manushim tanumashritam param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. Says, fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my transcendental nature as the Supreme Lord of all that be. Okay, so Krishna is transcendental. There is a pastime in the Mahabharata also where Krishna, just like he shows Arjuna the transcendental form, there is one case where he even shows Duryodhana. Okay, and when Duryodhana is trying to capture Krishna, and then Krishna shows his universal form, trying to tell him that, look, I'm not like you, I'm not a human being, you can't catch me, okay, this is my universal form. And what does Duryodhana think? Oh, he's just some guy who's got some mystic powers. Okay, so if you're conditioned in a certain way, you'll always see Krishna according to your conditioning. So the idea, the practice of Krishna consciousness to free ourselves from this conditioning. So it is said Krishna has three energies, internal, marginal, and external. The internal energy is spiritual, and the external energy is material. We are also the spiritual energy, but we are small, tiny, whereas Krishna is infinite. Okay, so it's all different things, and we should understand when Krishna manifests, it's him and his internal energy. Okay, like that. So that was the first point that is in the purport. The second point that Krishna mentions in the purport is that it's very interesting. I found this very interesting in the beginning when I came to Krishna consciousness, because you always think Krishna has to be someone big, someone amazing. He can't be this little cowherd boy. So in this purport, Prabhupada is saying that form of Virat Rupa is to help neophytes understand the spiritual form, but it's not a real thing, it's an imaginary thing. So Prabhupada is saying that the form that Krishna showed Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, the Virat Rupa, is an imaginary form, but it's there to help spiritual people who can't understand how form can be spiritual, to give them a concept of form. Now, I do a lot of work, outreach work with new people. And many, many years ago, decades ago, everybody was looking for the truth. They were looking for God. Okay, they want to know, they want to find the truth. Nowadays, I find people are just happy with spiritual things. They don't really want to know the truth. Let's not talk about God. But they have at least some conception that there's something higher than us. Okay? And it's all about the universe. So a lot of new age people, yoga people, if you speak to them, they'll tell you that, oh, you know, I got this guidance from the universe. The universe is really telling me what to do. You know, if it's meant to be, the universe will make it happen. If I'm meant to have something, the universe will give it to me. So they're always talking about this universe. And it's very interesting that 5,000 years ago, Krishna is talking about the universal form. And he's saying how all these universes are part of my body. So for some people like that who cannot understand Krishna is a person, but Krishna is the big universe, so Krishna manifests this universal form. Every year, myself and Gurudas Prabhu, we go to this festival called the Mind-Body-Spirit Festival. Okay, who's heard of the Mind-Body-Spirit Festival? Okay, quite a few of you. It's a very popular festival that happens in different parts of the world, especially in London and big cities. And it's a festival that's been happening for many decades. Okay, and even in the 70s, devotees used to go to that festival. They used to have a big truck. That was inside of the truck was like a temple, and they used to go in from this end, okay? They used to get preached to, and they used to come out the other end. Whoa, like, it's like a temple inside. I even heard some people go in this end, they come out of the other end shaved, okay, ready to join. Nowadays, it's still going on, okay? Not in the same way. We don't have that big truck anymore. But we set up a pop-up temple, so the Kirtan London team does that, Janavi, and so they set up a pop-up temple, and we teach them japa, we do Kirtan with them, we speak to them about Krishna consciousness, and people really appreciate it. They get about, I think, over 3-4 days, they get between 70 to 80,000 people, and they're all looking for something spiritual. So they tell us that they go around different places, and they come to our tent, and they say like, oh, this is the real thing. This is where we got something, because everything else is just so wishy-washy. Okay, so we go there every year and you meet so many of these people, and it's very interesting to meet them. So what I did, I made a list of what people think is spiritual. So there's so many different shops there. You can go and shop for spiritual things. Okay, it's spiritual shopping. So this is people's ideas of what spiritual means. So these are a few of the things that people do there. Okay, so I'm going to read out the list. So one is anonymous love letters, okay? Color spiritual personality analysis, conscious crystals, discover the work you were born to do, spiritual gem enchantment, healing interpretation and mineral analysis of hands, okay? intuition on demand, life alignment, max mind power, metamorphic association, obey your body, quantum balance crystals, soul healing miracles, stepping out of the matrix, transformed by light, yoga rave silent disco, get your own customized Vedic mantra for meditation. Okay, and then there's a few other things as well which are too obscene to be mentioned in Bhagavatam class, but you can go check them out. It's quite interesting, this yoga rave disco. It's a bit like a Harinam, but what they do is they're all plugged in and they're all playing yoga music, but you don't hear anything because they all got headphones, and they go dancing through all the different streets of the Mind Body Spirit Festival, and it just looks just like mad, because you don't hear anything. It's just they're all like dancing anyway. So these are people's conceptions of spirituality. So we go there and we teach people Hare Krishna Japa, and it goes down really well. People like it, but it's an initial step for people, to help people understand what spiritual form is. So that's why Krishna mentions this Virat Rupa, but it's an imaginary form. Okay, so the third point Krishna mentions is that the spiritual form of Krishna exists prior to creation. Okay. So when Krishna is going through the list, obviously the background to this chapter is that Suta Goswami is asked, so please describe Krishna's different incarnations. So in this chapter, Krishna goes through a list of 22 different incarnations, step by step. And when he comes to Krishna's incarnations, there's that famous verse where he says, Ete chamsa kalapumsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam ridayanti yuge yuge. So Krishna is saying that all these incarnations I've mentioned are all portions or plenary portions of God, but Krishna is the supreme original personality of Godhead. Okay, so Krishna is the original, he's not an incarnation. So it's mentioned this form of Krishna exists before the material universe was created. Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Gaur Nitai ki. What this also implies is not just Krishna's form, but our forms are also eternal, and we also have spiritual forms, and we are also eternal. If Krishna is eternal, he's the big spiritual source, and we're all little spiritual sparks, so we are also eternal. Now, one thing that I was trying to think of an analogy of how to explain this, and a couple of weeks ago, I was on YouTube, okay, and I was listening to Kirtan by Kadamakanana Swami. Okay, and you know when the kirtan finishes, and then you have suggestions. Okay, so you click on something else, you click on something else. So I did a few clicks, and within about 20 minutes, I was watching Dwayne Johnson's video on Jumanji Part 2. Okay, so that was my fall down for the week. So I watched that trailer. Now I don't know if anyone's ever seen that movie Jumanji. It was a movie I watched as a kid when I was growing up, and it's a very interesting movie. And I couldn't help but thinking that I hadn't thought of that movie for like 20 years, and this suddenly came up, so there's part two coming to figure out a way of watching it. But anyway, that's another thing. So I was thinking about this movie, and the person must have read Krishna Conscious Philosophy, because it's very much like Krishna Conscious Philosophy, this movie. So what happens in the movie is, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but just the philosophy behind it is that there's this game, okay? Somebody finds a game, and the first thing that they start off the game with is inquisitiveness. Okay? That's how our fall down also begins, with inquisitiveness. So they're curious, okay, what's in this game? Okay, let's check it out. Okay? And then even though others say, no, forget it, let's go, and it's like, no, let's try it. Okay? So they play the game. Now what happens when you play the game is you take on the role of the character. Okay? And whatever happens in the game happens for real. And then you're stuck in the game. So it's real and it's not real at the same time. Okay, so it's all happening, and then you have to go through the game taking the role of the character, and then when you finish the game, everything goes back to normal like it was before. So it's a bit like our situation. It's a bit like our situation in the material world. So we have inquisitiveness, we want to know more, we take on the role of this character, okay, And then we play this game, okay? And whatever you do, there's a reaction to it, there's karma. However you throw the dice, wherever it lands, you got to go through that yourself, okay? And then at some point, when you finish the game, okay, then you go back to where you left off, and it's like nothing's ever happened. Okay, you go back to the spiritual world. So some people say that this material world is just like a dream. It's like a dream. So you're in the spiritual world and you're dreaming. Okay, and all this is going on. Sometimes some people say that no, you actually come here, you take part, but it's all illusory. Illusory in the sense it's temporary. Okay, definition of illusory is also different. In modern conception, illusory means something that doesn't exist. But in Vedic conception, illusory means something that is temporary. Okay, it may be there, it's there for sure, but it's a temporary thing. Okay, so that means it's not real, okay, because it's temporary. So we come into this temporary world, and you know, we stay here, and then we go when it's all finished. So those are a few things that I wanted to share. Now you may have some questions, but before we get on to the questions, I just want to share a little story about Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And he was an amazing, amazing devotee, and he actually did a lot of preaching work, amazing preaching, and he also taught by example that how the situation you're in doesn't really matter, but it's how you practice Krishna consciousness within that situation. Because sometimes people often ask this question, okay, why do devotees have to suffer so much? Okay, why does Prahlad Maharaj have to suffer so much? Dhruva Maharaj, all the stories in the Bhagavatam that you read, there's not one story in the Bhagavatam which says that, oh yeah, this guy was a pure devotee of the Lord, he practiced Krishna consciousness, it was all fun, and then he went back to Godhead. Okay, all the stories in the Bhagavatam are usually, this is a great devotee, he suffered so much, so much, so much, so much, Krishna came and saved him, but throughout his whole suffering, he was fully Krishna conscious, and then Krishna took him back to Godhead. So that's all the stories, because the reality of life is, as long as you got the body, doesn't matter who you are, okay? Material body means birth, death, old age, and disease. And that means there is a suffering that comes with it. And our test is not praying to Krishna to take the suffering away, but our goal, our test, is how we can remember Krishna through the good and the bad. So that's the real thing. Suffering will always be there, so it's based on your karma. So my suggestion is don't pray to take it away, but try and remember Krishna in that situation and let Krishna figure out what he wants to do. Okay? Like that. So this one story when Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj in the later years of his life when he had cancer, and sometimes what would happen is because of, you know, certain problems in his body, the cancer had spread, and his body is really burning, and it would burn so much that they had to put him in a bathtub with cold water in there to get some relief. Okay, so it was so bad. Many times that would happen, and on this one situation, one day when that happened, and he was in the bathtub, cold water, his body was burning, and at that time Radhanath Maharaj was with him. So he said, okay, I'm going to read something to you. So then he started reading from the Krishna book, and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was listening, and it would be so much pain that there would be tears flowing down his eyes. And he was on so much morphine, but even the morphine wouldn't work because it was so bad. And then he would be crying, there's tears coming down his eyes. And then after reading a little bit, Radhanath Maharaj asked him, he said, how do you feel? And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said, oh, this is the best time of my life. He said, I love it so much because you're speaking about Krishna. So even though the body is going through so much trouble, your mind, your consciousness, all these things are absorbed in Krishna. And that's why it's okay. So that's our goal. So I'm just gearing you up that there will be problems as we all get old. That's the one thing, that you start getting old from the day you're born. Okay? Since the day you're born, you're getting old. So we're all getting old. It all has to come. All the pain, all the suffering, but now's the time to practice, okay, that we don't want to, we can't, and we don't want to get away from that. Whatever's coming, come, may it come, but we want to focus on Krishna consciousness. And the whole practice is how we can think of Krishna while we're in that phase. Okay, so that's all I had to say. If you have any questions, it'll be nice. If you don't have any questions, I can waffle a bit more. So does anybody have any questions?